Hello, and welcome. We're glad you decided to join us today by downloading and listening to this week's featured message. We pray that you allow God to use this week's message to teach and inspire you while you listen.
On these subjects. Next Sabbath, Pastor Hayden will stand here. The first service will be Pastor Gibson. And then on the last Sabbath of January, I will preach for the first service, dealing with the five most difficult texts in the Bible to explain concerning the Sabbath. That'll be for the morning service. And then, because that's Religious Liberty Day, Dr. Weston will be with us to turn our minds to prophecy. On January 28th, I will leave to go to Wildwood to deal with my cancer situation. And so the first service of February will have for the first service Pastor Boyd, and for the second service Elder Walter Pearson. For the second Sabbath of February, we'll have Elder Griffith. For the second service, Elder C.D. Brooks. And then on the 16th, the Sabbath I return, for the first service we'll have Pastor Damian Johnson. And for the second service, Pastor Damian Johnson. Amen. And then the last Sabbath of February, given all things well, I will preach for both services. Amen. By the end of February, we expect to announce to you that I am cancer clear. The thrust is you'd better get ready. We've asked all the speakers, as Pastor Boyd did this morning, to turn their attention to that flavor, to that flavor. You'd better get ready. I've been getting so many calls about these sermons. Especially from people who are not members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And that is because you are being good missionaries. You're spreading the tapes. Got a call this week from a gentleman in Canada. And what I'm hearing from people, Tony, is this. There are many people who worship on the first day of the week as the Sabbath. Now remember, we have learned that the fourth commandment does not say, remember the Sabbath day to worship. It says, remember the Sabbath day to do what, church? Keep it holy. And we have learned that keeping a day holy is more than going to church. But for those who go to church on Sunday believing it to be the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, what I'm discovering from these phone calls, Brother Joyner, is that many people have had an itch in the back of their head. They have sensed that perhaps there's something else. They've had an itch about Saturday. And the sermons are saying to them, take another look. Take another look. And you're helping your friends and family to do that. Take another look. Let's pray. Guide us, O sweet Jehovah, to your throne of truth. In Christ's name, amen. This series for the second service began with my discussing some significant events, Francis Benjamin, that have happened which threaten the security of those who keep the seventh day of the week as the Sabbath of the Lord. Then last week for the second service, I opened further and talked about what it means to keep the Sabbath day holy. Now we've just touched that. I'll have much more to say about that in February. Because God is not pleased with the looseness with which those who claim to believe that the seventh day is the Sabbath, God is not pleased with the way that's being approached by those of us who claim to be Sabbath keepers. We need to refresh our minds on what it means to keep the Sabbath holy. I'll say amen for you. Amen. Some have forgotten that it's the Sabbath of the Lord. And that what He sanctifies and blesses and makes holy, we must keep it. We must keep it the way He gave it to us. What do you say? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Sabbath in the law. Because many, in order to justify the first day Sabbath, have thought the best thing to do is just do away with the whole Ten Commandment law. For the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. What are you going to do with that? Well, if you're going to say you don't have to observe it, then you've got to get rid of it. Not just the day, but the law that it is in. We got to talk about that. We have to answer the question, how do you know that this Saturday we're now keeping is the exact same Saturday in time flow that God first created? Did it get lost? We're going to preach on that. We're going to preach on all of it. You get tired of hearing about the Sabbath? Go someplace else. Because I'm going to preach on all of it. Let me just take a quick review. And I do this without apology. Now, those of you who are visiting, Pastor Wright is more of a teacher than a preacher. In fact, I'm really not much of a preacher. But I can sure teach the word. I know what I do well. I teach. So we're going to review some things, lay a groundwork for you. Because today I'm going to deal with the Sabbath in the New Testament. We got to get to that. Because many sincere first day worshipers believe that they are concretized spiritually to do what they do by what's in the New Testament. We must go there. They believe sincerely, Griffith, that there was a change made. Christ, His apostles. You've heard it. Well, maybe they're right. And we must investigate the passages. Because, Oniji, it's important that we be able to put our minds around those passages and properly understand them. It's not enough just to say somebody, well, the day I keep is right. What doth the Lord say. Pastor gets excited about that. Thus saith the Lord. That winds me up. And when you're talking to people about God's word, Berriantos, you want to be able to say, God says. Come on, somebody. What right says doesn't mean a thing. What you say doesn't mean a thing, but if God says it, I'm getting excited already. If God says it, somebody's got to move. Somebody's got to move. So let's review quickly now some of these things that God has stirred up, the Sabbath being threatened. Yes, yes, yes. Just this past year, the Pope made some strong statements in September about the Sunday Sabbath. Let's read these things again. Now, downstairs, if you're visiting, we don't cheat. You got to read what's on the screen with me. Balcony folks, back in them rooms, nursing them babies, read what's on the screen. All right, let's go. Come on. Without Sunday worship, we cannot live. Now, you may want to, if you're a seven-day keeper, you may want to maybe kind of spoof the Pope, but at least he knows that that Sabbath keeping is vital. Let's don't worry about the day. He's got that right. It's vital. But he says Sunday. Vital, vital. We can't live. Keep reading. Give the soul to Sunday. Give Sunday its soul. It's the Pope talking about that day. Read on. Warning against the evils of allowing Sunday become just a part of the weekend. The Pope said people need to have a spiritual focus during the first day of the week, or else leisure time will just become wasted time. This is the concern of the Pope. Let's see if he had any more to say. Yes, he did. Read. Sunday worship, he warned, was not just a precept to be casually adhered to, but a necessity for all people. See? And then he said more. Read. The Pope has been very vocal about Europe's Christian or Catholic roots and is pushing to have them included in the European Constitution. The Pope wants to put Sunday keeping in the Constitution of Europe, of United Europe. So at least he's serious. Now, I don't agree with forced religion, but what I'm saying is, if you believe in something, you ought to take a stand. You ought to take a stand. Now, we also revealed to you that there was another meeting on November 14th and 15th of this past year, just a couple of months ago. There was a special meeting held at the Pope John Paul Cultural Center. The meeting was paid for by the Vatican. And we mentioned to you that there were two main speakers. The one speaker was a cardinal. And the agenda for him was to point out that the world is in a terrible state, number one. He wants to bring Israel back to obedience, number two, this cardinal who spoke at this meeting. And then this cardinal wants to push that our Constitution, forget Europe now, we've come over here. He's pushing that our Constitution, I'm talking about the American Constitution, Brother Hall, he's pushing that our Constitution have a first day amendment. Now you know he's coming over here this year, making his first visit as the new Pope over here this year. Here's a man of great influence. Great influence. Represents over 900 million Christian. And he wants to see it so that there's a law. Now, I'm saying this to say that as we get into this Sabbath stuff, you need to understand, you're going to have some backbone to follow God. Come on, somebody. You have to be ready to stand up. Yes, sir. I like that. Stand up. The pastor loves that kind of stuff. Stand up. Get on up. And declare, here I stand. I can do no other. That's important. We mentioned to you that people like Nancy Pelosi were at that meeting. John McCain, who just won now the New Hampshire primary, at that meeting. Al Gore, worried about global warming, at that meeting. Dr. James Dobson, Pat Robertson. Look at the configuration of people. at a meeting sponsored by the Vatican. How can you just sit there? I want you to be upset with me. Because you see, not only do I believe in the Sabbath, I love the Sabbath. Come on, somebody. Great day of refreshment. The Sabbath. Don't mess with me and my Sabbath. Don't call me up with no foolishness on the Sabbath. Let me find peace on the Sabbath. You messed up on the Sabbath, stay far from me. I know I'm just playing with you. But what I'm saying is, the Sabbath is important to us. Can I get a witness? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of who? Rest on it. Rest on it. Rest on it. Well, let's get into this thing now. The Sabbath in the New Testament. Many sincere Christians who worship on Sunday, believing it to be the Christian Sabbath, I said sincere. Every Sunday morning, churches are full of many sincere people. Let us not make light of them who believe they're doing thus saith the Lord. They're as faithful as you are, as converted as you are. They don't know what you know. We will not make light of them. They believe Sunday to be the Christian Sabbath. And they do so because they sincerely believe that God made a change in the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday while he was on earth. And they say that the followers of Christ after his death took up the Sunday pattern. People believe that. And they believe it is the duty of the Christian to honor the Lord's resurrection on Sunday. They don't understand that God gave us two things to honor his death. Baptism, Romans 6, and the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11. He said, when you do that, you show the Lord's death. He never gave us a day to honor his death. He gave us two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now this thing is acting up here on my ear. It ain't doing right. And it's just the devil. But I'm going to preach this sermon anyhow. They honor Sunday as the Lord's Day. And they describe themselves with this interesting phrase, Baker. They call themselves New Testament Christians. You ever heard that phrase? When you start them out, the Old Testament says the Sabbath. That's Old Testament. I'm a New Testament Christian. Well, we're going to deal with that today. See, what does that mean? What does that phrase mean, New Testament? Was Jesus a New Testament Christian? Now, those who look to the New Testament for their scriptural basis for Sunday, being the Christian Sabbath, we pointed out last week, they have a problem. They're sincere, but they have a problem. And the problem, we said, Joanne, is an historical one. And so, hazarding, boring some of you who heard the first two sermons, you'll just have to stay with me. Let's go back again and look at that. You see, Al, this is what teachers do. We have to review. Are you with me? And we don't apologize for reviewing. Put it up there on the screen. Next statement. Yeah. Here's the history of the Sabbath in a nutshell. Here's the history of Sunday in a nutshell. Let's read. Question. Everybody's reading here. Question. Have you any other way of proving that the Catholic Church has power to institute festivals of precept? Answer. The Catholic Church answer. This is their catechism where they teach people what to believe. Come on. Answer. Had she not such power, she could not have done that in which all modern religionists agree with her. She could not have substituted, read on, the observance of the Sunday, the first day of the week, for the observance of Saturday, the seventh day of the week, a change for which there is no scriptural authority. That's the problem that Protestants have. The church that originated first day worship says there's no scripture. So if the church that originated says that no scripture, then where do the Protestants come up with scripture? You see the problem? And we identified last week that the change on the Catholic Church's part was way back in the 5th century A.D. before there was not even a Protestant in existence. And so by the time the Protestants came along, Sunday was already 1,100 years old. But the Catholic Church started it. At least they say. Well, you say, I still believe there's some Bible for it. Well, all right. Let's go further. I want to demonstrate to you today. I think the problem is we put this wire under my arm instead of over my arm. So let's get somebody up here beside me and get this fixed while I'm still preaching the word. Now, thank you, sir. I want to take you and let you see. Moon is my man. I want to take you and let you see that this idea of the Sunday Sabbath not having any Bible, that's not just something taught by the Catholic Church. Protestants also know that. First, we have a prominent member of the Church of England. And I want you to see that early Christians who kept Sunday did not think they were being scriptural. They just kept Sunday. Read, the seventh day of the week has been deposed from its title to obligatory religious observance, and its prerogative has been carried over to the first day under no of Scripture. Well, I have to remember to read the whole thing. Under no direct precept of Scripture. See, they tell me that when I don't read everything, the folk who listen to the tape don't get it. All right. Now, that's just one. Let's keep reading. Here's another Church of England. These are scholars, by the way. Read. It is certain that our Lord, when on earth, did observe Saturday and did not observe Sunday. If they are consistent, as I have said, they must keep Saturday, not Sunday, as the day of wrath. Now, maybe they had a different Bible then than the Protestants now. But these two Protestants say, there's no scripture. There's no scripture. Let's keep going. Oh, Congregationalist. Read, the Christian Sabbath, Sunday, is not in the scripture. It was not by the primitive church called the Sabbath. Now let's pause. That's three statements. Just let's take that in. Let's take that in. See, here's what we have to wrestle with. Because I can't let a pope or a prime minister or scholar, I can't let those folk decide salvation for me. And so the question that's before me is, if in fact the first day is not in Scripture, then what, that is as the Sabbath, then what gives me permission to keep it as the Sabbath? Because you see, Hank, what we wrestle with, we have a specific command from God to keep holy the seventh day. It's in the law, Deborah Sanford. So, if I'm going to keep something contrary to what God says that's not in Scripture, I'll let you wrestle with it. Let's go back up here. We have more. Here's another statement. Read. It is another Congregationalist. Read. It is quite clear that however rigidly or devotedly we may spend Sunday, we're not keeping the Sabbath. Pause. This is one who observes Sunday as the first day of the week as Sabbath. But he says, we're not keeping the Sabbath. We do that. Read on. The Sabbath was founded. See, here we go, Hank. Here we go. Here it is. Let's read it. The Sabbath was founded on a specific divine command. This man knows his Bible. He says the Sabbath was found in a command. Where? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day, not eon, not dispensation, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. He knows that. So he says, let's finish reading what he has up here. The Sabbath was founded. Come on. We can plead no such command for the obligation. Some decades back, an outstanding Catholic cardinal, only position in the Catholic Church higher than a cardinal is that of Pope, did some study. And this is the conclusion that Cardinal Gibbons came to. Let's read it. Everybody, you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Wait. This brother surveyed the whole thing. He's read the whole thing. So in case you left something out, Gibbons says, I covered it. What did you find? Read on. Oh, keep a statement up there. Oh, my. And come on, and you will find not a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. How many lines did he find? In fact, Cardinal Gibbons was so upset by this thing, he said, he offered several thousand pounds to anybody who could find one text. He never paid the money. The people writing these statements are New Testament Christians. Yeah. Well, there's another statement by Pastor Hiscox. See, now he's not just anybody else. This is the brother that helped develop the Baptist Manual. He was speaking to a group of Baptist pastors in 1893 in Saratoga, New York. What did he find? This is a Baptist preacher. What denomination? Baptist. Let's read. There was and is a commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day. But that Sabbath day was not Sunday. Ah! It's a Baptist talking. Keep reading. It will, however, be readily said, and with some show of triumph, that the Sabbath was transferred from the seventh to the first day of the week. Where can the record of such a transaction be found? Not in the New Testament. Absolutely not. I'm trying to get your mind around the problem. Will you follow Jesus? Will you follow man? And I have to admire these folk, Larry Marable, for their honesty. In church every Sunday, but they say, I'm not there because of the Bible. The American Sunday School Union, in its training manual, the American Sunday School Union, in its training manual, makes this statement. Read, up to the time of Christ's death, no change had been made in the day. So far as the record shows, they, the apostles, did not give any explicit command enjoining the abandonment of the seventh day Sabbath and its observance on the first day. That's the Sunday School Union. Now we have reason to ask, What did these Christian scholars and church leaders know that many modern Christians seem not to know? All those we've quoted were members of religious groups or organizations that observe Sunday as the Sabbath. All attest that there is no scripture for the practice. Has the Bible changed since these statements were written? Did they miss something that we have now modernly discovered? Or were they just honest Bible students? Now, there are those who will say, you're making too much of the day. No. God makes an issue out of the day. Remember the Sabbath day. I'm quoting God in the commandments, written with his own finger. Leave it up to me. Worship when you please. But there's a little song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. So, me? The day? But I didn't go on the cross for you. I have no heaven for you. I wrote no law for you. We have to deal with God's attitude about the day. Now, I mentioned earlier that many who observe the first day of the week as the Sabbath speak of themselves as New Testament Christians. Remember that? Let's go on and deal with that. Was Jesus a New Testament Christian? Luke 24. And I asked them not to put this on the screen, so you got to open your Bible. They'll put the text up there. You can put the text up there, folks. But Luke 24. Let's see. What was Jesus' guy? Where did he get his religion from? Luke 24. And let's go to verse 27. Now, he's walking on the road to Emmaus, Sonia, talking to these two destitute believers who've seen Christ die on the cross, do not know they're walking with their Lord, and he begins to talk to them about the things, Baker, that they don't understand. And he talks to them about himself. What Bible does Jesus use to explain himself? Verse 27, read it. And beginning at Moses. Whoa! Moses. That's the first five books of the Old Testament. What else did he use? And all the prophets. Now we're talking about half the Old Testament. Lord have mercy. He did what? He expounded to them in all the scriptures. I mean, he grabbed Psalms and the rest of them, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. What did he explain? Jesus said, you want a gospel sermon? Give me Genesis. Hallelujah. You want to hear about God's love? Give me Exodus. You want to know about salvation by grace? Give me the Old Testament. He took those men and took the gospel from the Old Testament, which I've heard somebody say was nailed to the cross. Jesus said, I may have been nailed, but the Bible was not nailed, and I'm using it to preach me. Jesus was an Old Testament, Lord help me, Christian. There was no Matthew written, no John had been drawn up. Paul had not written one letter. If Jesus wanted to preach the good old gospel of salvation, he said, give me the Old Testament. Let me talk about people freed from slavery. That's the gospel. Let me talk about kings and queens who leaned on me for power. That's the gospel. Let me talk about walking with the shepherd through the valley of the shadow of death. That's Psalms. I'll preach gospel in the Old Testament. Yes. I don't need no Romans. Don't need no revelation. I am the revelation. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the Alpha and Omega. I just need me, and give me a few texts from the Old Testament. Yes, sir. That's the Bible of your Savior. So if you're a New Testament Christian, You got a problem. Verse 44, that same chapter, Jesus still talking. Read, come on. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand. I just can't get any clearer than that. Now, it just seems to me, Andrew, that if Jesus used the Old Testament, ought to be good enough for me. Now, this is not to knock the New Testament. The point I'm making is, if a person says they're a New Testament Christian, and they find Jesus, Jesus said you need to start, first of all, with the Old Testament. And then follow me into the new. Jesus did more than preach the Old Testament. He followed it and lived it. Let's go back to our key text, Matthew 5. I'm going to push you now. I'm going to push you. Matthew 5. Old Joyner got up and read this text. Yes, sir. Matthew 5, 17. 19. See, this is the reason why Jesus did what he did in Luke. Because in Matthew 5, verse 17, he says what? Read. Think not that I am come to destroy what? The law and the prophets. Now that text makes sense. Now I understand why he said that. He said, I can't destroy it. I'm going to preach out of it. You can't get rid of it yet. I'm going to need it to tell you what I've done for you. Don't even think I'm getting rid of Genesis and Exodus and the... Come on, moon. You know that's a bunch of fools. He said, I need this Bible. It's all the Bible we got in his day. He said, don't think I've come to destroy it, but to do what with it? Fulfill. Fulfill. That's what he did in Luke. He showed them how his life fulfilled. He obeyed the Old Testament. Luke 4:16. Oh, come on, let's read it. Come on. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. Come on. Went into the... As his... Sabbath day. As his... And stood up for to... Hallelujah! He preached out of it. He preserved it. And he followed it. Why don't you say amen for Jesus? He was a Bible-toting, Bible-believing Christian. Jesus. Jesus. Not only did he preach out of it and preserve it and follow it, he came here, and when that Sabbath issue came up, he made sure he protected it. Remember in John 1:1-3 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Come on. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made which was made. That includes the Sabbath. He's the Creator. He made that first Sabbath. John 1:1, he made the first Sabbath. So, having made it at creation, look what he did at recreation. Matthew 28:1. Matthew 28:1, the New Testament and the Sabbath. Matthew 28:1. Do you hear that? Listen. What do you hear? Bible pages turning. Baker, you know I'm so excited I can't hardly stand. Bible pages. People. God's people in the Word. Now, you know, a pastor gets up for that. Lord have mercy. Read that verse. Verse 1. Come on. In the end of the Sabbath, I was beginning to dawn toward the... Came... And the other Mary to see the sepulcher. All right. Wait. When the Sabbath had done what? Ended. There's only one day I've ever heard of before the first day. That you got to live on some planet. On this planet, there's only one day before the first day. It's called the seventh day. And its name is... And so when that was over, He got up. He got up. See? He got up. At creation, he worked and rested. At salvation, he worked and rested. Don't get me started here now. Hallelujah! Same pattern. Why change what worked before? Made everything, fixed it up, got things ready for Adam and Eve, then I rested. So, I'm getting Henry ready now for a new earth. I'm going to work. I'm going to rest. Yeah, Mark 16:1. You better be marking these texts in your Bible. Bible looking all plain, unused. I can tell some of y'all study. Yeah. Look at your Bible, ain't got no marks in it. No check marks. Ain't circled nothing. Ain't got no yellow highlights. Lord have mercy. Pastor's having fun with it, but I love you. Come on. Mark 16:1. Read. Come on. And when the Sabbath was what?
Passed.
Over there before it ended. Now it's past. Read on. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week. No. When the first day came, where was the Sabbath? Past. So first day and Sabbath day can't be the same day in the New Testament. We're just preaching the Bible here. Yeah, I'm just preaching the Bible here. Okay? Look at verse 9. Read verse 9. Ready? Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. So there's a consistency here. Matthew, Mark, look at Luke. Luke 23. See, the Sabbath, Don Powell, in the New Testament. I tell you, every time I see Don Powell, I want to shout. That brother just came out here to these meetings when I had him. Been walking around with Rosie all them years. Everybody thought that Don Powell was a 7 days Adventist. Wasn't no 7 days Adventist. He was an attached person. He came out and heard the word, Palmer. Went over to his house, talked with him, led him to the word. I said, Don, are you ready? He said, I need to get off the fence. Baptized him. Didn't that baptize you, Don? Took him down, held him for about 5 minutes because he's been around. He got in his mind. He's been working ever since. God loved him because he saw the word. It's the word. And you who are watching this tape later on when you're seeing it, don't worry about Henry Wright. Don't worry about what you've been doing. Let yourself be subdued by God's word. Hear his word. Luke 23. Look at verse 50. Come on. Verse 50. Read. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man, a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. How come you're not reading with me? Verse 51, Luke 23, everybody. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. Verse 52, this man went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew on. No. The day before the Sabbath was called the
preparation.
Jesus had just been crucified. He was crucified on good. Everybody knows that. Even New Testament Christians know that. He was crucified on Friday. But the Bible calls it the preparation day and says the next day coming on was the Sabbath day. Verse 55, read. And the woman also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulcher, how his body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the according to the commandment. Now, the last time I looked, there's only one day between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And in this passage, that day is called the Sabbath day. Let me show you this passage we just read, verses 54 and 56 through 56, in another Bible. Put it up there for me. Yeah, read this. Read this. Ready? This was done late on Friday afternoon. If you want modernism, here it is. Read again. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of the preparation for the Sabbath. As the body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where they placed his body. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to embalm him. But by the time they were finished, it was the Sabbath. So they rested all that day as required by the law. Why wouldn't Jesus tell his closest followers that the Sabbath had been changed? Why would he do that to them? Have them still dragging around, keeping something that he nailed to the cross? People who loved him so much that they would spend their money for herbs and spices to embalm his body. Why leave them in darkness? Luke 24:1 says, read, now upon the first day of the week, early in the morning. That's far enough, far enough. That's far enough. The apostles, after Jesus died, consistently kept the Sabbath. We got to move quick. Acts 13:14. Acts 13:14. Every one of these texts ought to be marked in your Bible. Acts 13:14. I can't wait on you. 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. This is Paul and his friends spreading the gospel. Go in that same chapter to verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So he's not just meeting with Jews. He's meeting with Jews and Gentiles on the See, if the Sabbath was done away with, then just meet with the Jews on the Sabbath. And meet with the Gentiles on Sunday. Get the Gentiles started right. It has been a change now. Understand why he meets with the Jews on the synagogue. Got to pull them over. But why mess up the minds of the Gentiles with Sabbath? Set them free on Sunday. But he meets with Jews and Gentiles when? On Sabbath. Verse 44, same chapter. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Acts 16:13. You're too slow. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Here is again, another town, meeting where? On the Sabbath. Acts 17:2. And as Paul as his manner was. Where did we hear that same phrase before? Luke 4:16. Jesus as his custom was. Now it says Paul as his what? That means he habitually kept the Sabbath day. Now this is years after Christ was nailed to the cross. Paul does not seem to know, Michelle, that there's been a change. Nobody's told the new evangelist. So either he's still teaching the Sabbath heresy, or he's teaching the Sabbath truth. Come on, somebody. But he hasn't made a change. Acts 17:2. Acts 18:1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. And by their occupation, they were tent makers. Verse 4, everybody read it. And he reasoned in the synagogue every, and persuaded the, and the. Paul missed it. See, that's why those honest scholars that we read from, that's why they said what they said. They said, we done read them texts, right? We all read them texts. Read them texts before your great-grandparents were born. And having read them, we've come to one conclusion. There's no Bible. There's no Bible. Anywhere for the change. For the change. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, we must be compassionate, gentle, non-critical of people who sincerely observe the first day of the week. They don't know what you now know. And it's our responsibility and love to tell them that they are free to do what God says. They need not be intimidated by tradition or habit or pressure from family or friends. They are free to stand on thus saith the Lord. Amen. They are free. They are free. One more text. Let you go. Matthew 24:20. Matthew 24:20. Matthew 24:20. Now this passage is extremely important. Matthew 24:20. Jesus is preaching his last day sermon, Derek. His last day sermon. He is now preaching prophecy. He's talking about the future, way beyond his life, death, and ascension. And if Christians were to be doing something different, somehow Jesus didn't seem to know that would be the case. Because talking about an event that would take place in A.D. 70, he wrote, come on everybody, read. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the
Sabbath.
He fully expected 70 years after his death that Christians would still be keeping the Sabbath. No wonder Isaiah declares, with such great zeal and promise and excitement, declares with power and with hope. When we get to the new earth, from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh go up before me, saith the Lord. Put that camera in my face. Now, to my friend who called from Canada, keep studying. To you who may be hearing this in your home for the first time, don't take my word. Keep studying. Maybe this DVD was given you by a member of my church. Maybe you have a relative that's a Seventh-day Adventist and you have been wondering, debating. Maybe you're a neighbor of a friend of my, of a member of my church, and you receive this DVD. And you've watched it with a certain growing tension and nervousness. Maybe something I said may have offended you. I apologize. I believe you to be a sincere seeker for truth. I invite you to the Word of God. If you consider yourself to be a New Testament Christian, then follow Jesus. His custom was to be in God's house on the Sabbath day. What about you, sitting here in this room? or in the balcony, or downstairs. You're not ready to join the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Maybe you were just invited here to hear this sermon. And part of you is saying, too much stuff about a day. Well, it's in the Ten Commandment law. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:12. At least study. At least study. Trust and obey. If you have any questions about the message or would like to contact us with any prayer requests, please use the prayer request tool at the top of the page. We invite you to share this message with someone else and check back next week for another message. Thank you for visiting with us. We pray that you experience the presence of God always with you.